Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Here's the pitch. Swing and a fly ball to right field. Pretty well hit. Freelick back at the wall. He jumps. It's gone. He did it. He did it. Pete Alonso with the most memorable home run of his career. Pumps his fist as he rounds second. It's a three-run homer. He's given the Mets a 3-2 lead. They all pour out of the dugout. Alonso on his way to home plate. They're waiting for him.
Mother bleeper. I hate when good things happen to any baseball team. I don't like the Mets. I do have a morbid curiosity about Mets-Phillies, which we're now going to see in the divisional series, and I would love Mets-Dodgers, then Mets-Yankees. But when good things happen, and that actually gave me chills, because that was the Mets radio network, I just feel sad. And so that's the last thing I saw before I went to bed last night. The first thing I saw when I woke up in the morning is that Terry Francona, who grew up like 25 minutes from here, will be managing the Cincinnati Reds next season. David Bell was one of the worst, if not the worst, managers in baseball. Derek Shelton hasn't had a winning season or even really come close in the last 5 years. And Terry Francona, a future Hall of Famer, is going to be managing a division rival. This is a Football Friday. We will spend 99% of the show on football. But my mind starts spinning, Dorn. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Did the Pirates gauge the interest of Terry Francona before they decided to bring Derek Shelton back? Did they reach out? I hope so. I hope they did their due diligence. But if they did, the answer from Terry Francona was likely no, and I'm not sure which I prefer. I'm not sure if I prefer that they didn't reach out or that if they did, he said, nah, I ain't coming to Pittsburgh. This is a guy who retired and then now just unretired, but retired because of his health. So if you're going to go anywhere, Pittsburgh's closer right to Cleveland than Cincinnati is. I don't know where his family is, but I know where he's from.
Mm-hmm.
Terry Francona should be the manager of the Pirates next year. And he's going to be the Reds manager. Doran, talk me off the ledge.
I don't know if I can, man. I don't know if I can. One, I don't think that they reached out. I think that they were sold. They were so concrete on bringing back Derek Shelton that they didn't even want to flirt with any other options. I don't think that they reached out at all. And I think that maybe they didn't reach out because they knew that it would be a no, or they just didn't reach out because that's just kind of how they do things. You know, they're kind of behind on everything. I mean, look how behind they are on a situation like this. They're behind in the trade deadline. They're always behind in everything. So, but if you're a Francona and they did reach out, let's play that game, and you said no, why do you think he said no? I mean, you got arguably maybe a generational pitcher.
Absolutely.
Every manager or coach, whenever you're embarking on a new situation, and especially like if you're a Bill Belichick, and Terry Francona would be in this type of conversation, right? Bill Belichick's only going to go back to a team if they have a quarterback, right? Like next year, like, okay, Bill Belichick's name's going to get popped up. If he does take a job, it's going to be with somebody that has a significant quarterback or has a spot in the draft where they could draft a significant.
Right.
That's how those coaches, head coaches, and managers align themselves. So if you're Francona, you look at the situation in Pittsburgh, you're like, oh, Paul Skeens.
Pretty good starting
point. Pretty enticing. But would I be able to do the things that I want to do? Well, you know, we could tell you, yeah, of course. No, I've played this game before. I know this game better than probably anybody in this whole entire building. Am I going to be able to do the necessary things that I need to do to put a winning club on the table?
Am I going to get what I want?
No. He knows that.
Yep.
So why would he even entertain this if it were, you know, hypothetically an option? Why would you even entertain it?
I wouldn't. You would think that being from these parts, this neck of the woods, that would help. You can finish out your career in a place where, hey, if you're as good as we think you are and you think you are, you can win. But here's the funny little thing, Tito. If you don't, you're just like the last guy.
Yep.
You're like the back half of the guy before. You're like all the managers before him. So you're not going to have heart issues because it ain't that stressful. I don't know that you pitch it that way. To your point about Skeens, it's not an accident that Jim Harbaugh winds up in a place where you got Justin Herbert.
Right.
Hey, Paul Skeens should be like the ultimate selling point. Look at what Detroit's doing. You're going to be up 1-0 in every series because you ain't beating Scooble right now. That guy's awesome, and he's not as awesome as Paul Skeens. So they either reached out and he said no, or they didn't reach out. Either way, I feel like crap. This is a dude, Terry Francona, who was the skipper of a franchise that is in a market just like Pittsburgh. People don't show up to their games.
Mm-hmm.
You look every year, attendance, not great in Cleveland.
Mm-mm.
Now, they'll spend more money, obviously, but it's a small market. And you know what Terry Francona did in that small market? Oh, 9 out of 11 seasons, winning record in Cleveland. Winning record. Small market club, that's really hard to do. This is a 2-time World Series champion manager. This is a 3-time pennant winning manager. This is a 3-time manager of the year. And with all due respect to Derek Shelton, my man's got a 4.15 winning percentage. He's had 5 years to turn this ship around, and he ain't. Best he's done is 76 wins. And as you so eloquently stated yesterday, maybe that's the ceiling for one Derek Shelton. I don't know that if Terry Francona were the manager last season, the Pirates make the playoffs. But if Terry Francona were the manager of the Pirates last season, they finish with a winning record.
Yeah.
And maybe they do make the playoffs. 15-game improvement for a manager seems like a lot to me, but 5 or 6 games? 7 or 8 games? And if you're going to build a roster next year, if you're Ben Cherington, that you think can win 84 games, well, a 5-win bump off of 84 makes a huge difference and could get you into the playoffs. He doesn't have the budget, Ben Cherington, and he hasn't done a good enough job with the budget that he's got to build a 90-win team. I just ain't buying it. His press conference the other day, he's talking about, well, a lot of this is going to have to be internal improvement. And that's what we heard last offseason,
right,
going into last year. Internal improvement ain't going to happen with Derek Shelton. Internal improvement could happen with Terry Francona. Again, the best you can hope to buy this offseason, IMO, is like 8 or 9 more wins. And then you need your manager to get the most out of what you got. And Terry Francona can do that. The current guy has shown no ability to do that. And not only is he back in baseball, man, but he goes to the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look in the mirror and you're the Pirates, what do you see staring back at you? Should be the Reds. Should be the Reds. They won 77 games this year. Last season, Pirates come out to this hot start. The Reds not so much. Reds get hot in the middle. Both teams very similar. Young teams. Good starting pitching. They both got a Cruz.
Yep.
Who are electric players. And one team seems to be taking this seriously. The Reds. What we've done the last 2 years, not acceptable. The Pirates? Nope. Status quo is good enough. And I heard Jason Mackey on yesterday with the PM team. Scathing criticism of ownership here. Where he said, his words, not mine, they're okay with the mediocrity. Because you know what happened this year, man? A lot more butts were in the seats because of Paul Skeens.
Of course.
So they're going to make more money this year,
of course,
than they made last year. They're okay with the mediocrity. The Reds, not. The Pirates settled. The Reds didn't.
So there's our answer. They're okay with mediocrity, and they didn't reach out.
It's like seeing a hot chick at the bar and just saying, you know what, we're not going to get this guy.
Jeez.
Man. I conflated the analogy with the real life. It's like seeing a hot chick at the bar and going, you know what, I'm not even going to talk to her. I'm just going to assume defeat. The Reds went and talked.
Mm-hmm.
Bought a couple of cocktails.
Mm-hmm.
Things got loosey-goosey.
Yes.
They wound up going back home with Terry Francona. It's very frustrating. It's a football Friday, but needed to get all that off my chest, our collective chests. How do you feel about this, Pirates fans? 412-928-9370. We knew the Reds fired their manager. They could have hired anybody else, and I think I'd been okay with it. My hope was that Terry Francona was going to stay retired, but that he joins the Reds in division, the local area-ish. It hurts, man. Hurts. Maybe if Ron Cook were still here, he'd have come.
They buddies?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Ron Cook was buddies with everybody.
He was, man. So, Cookie, you could tell which guests Ron booked versus Starkey, because Starkey, you know, he quarterbacks the show. He's going to bring you in. He's going to get you out sometimes after like 45 minutes. When it was a guest that Cookie booked, hey there, Tito. Starkey's about, like, turns his mic on, gets all nestled up, about to start the same. Hey there, Tito, how you doing?
How you doing?
He would jump the order operations there because they're buds. 9 out of 11 years winning record in Cleveland.
It's a shame.
Make a call. Probably didn't. All right, coming up next, it's a football Friday. Let's not mess around here. Injury reports on both sides might determine this game. Sometimes it's simple. It might be as simple as who's healthy enough to play for the Steelers and Cowboys. We'll get into that coming up next. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So there's a commercial for the Farmer's dog food on the studio television. And the whole time, you pop the food in the microwave, they pull it out, they have it in these nice bowls. I'm thinking, man, that looks good. Dog food.
Oh, that's why you were like, oh my God. I'm like, what?
The whole time, I'm like, wow, it's like a meal prep service. Like, that looks pretty healthy. Like, that seems convenient. Like, you just microwave all this healthy food. Like, I'd sign up for that. I got to get in shape. Dog food.
Dog food.
Awesome. You ever eaten dog food?
No, I just, like, smelled it.
The longest time I didn't like tuna because I thought it was like cat food.
Yeah, like in a can.
I still can't go to a sandwich place and order tuna.
Really?
Yeah, because it's tuna. Like you go to Subway, and I probably shouldn't mention them, but you go to any place where you go get a quick sandwich, and they just have the tub of tuna sitting there, and it's already got the mayonnaise stirred in. Like,
yeah.
Just sitting there all day, I can't do it.
Mm.
If I'm eating a tuna sammy, it's got to be at my house.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or at a restaurant. Even though I'm sure in the back, they still just have a big old tub of tuna. Sitting there with a mayonnaise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I do love a tuna sandwich.
Pretty good.
You get the tuna melt, a little cheese on there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
A little salt and pepper.
Yeah. Throw some hot sauce on there, just a little bit.
A little hot sauce on there.
It makes it
you
so
squirt a lemon in?
A little bit, yeah.
Do you like chicken salad?
Yes.
Me too.
Very good.
Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. We don't often spend a ton of time on injury reports, even though they're incredibly important. This week, more so than really any other week this year. I guess the Justin Herbert saga was important to follow what was going on there. Oh, look at that wrap on Justin Herbert's leg. But I look at both the Steelers and the Cowboys, and the Steelers, in terms of the number of guys who are hurt, it's going to affect the way they play in this game. The Cowboys, the guys that are hurt, is really going to affect the way that they play. Micah Parsons didn't practice. He ain't going to play. DeMarcus Lawrence, he's not going to play. He's already on IR.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Cooks, the last couple of days, pops up on the injury report. Dorn, they don't have a lot of targets to spread the ball around to. You got CeeDee Lamb. You got Ferguson, the tight end.
Yeah.
And you had Brandon Cooks. That's pretty much all you got.
Mm-hmm.
Their target share looks an awful lot like the Steelers, Pickens, and Freiermuth. And I know we've bitch, moaned, and complained around here about that. They got to be saying the same stuff in Dallas, except they don't even try to run the ball, the Cowboys. And then you flip it over to the Steelers side, and Najee Harris didn't look like himself last week. Cordarrelle Patterson didn't practice again. Jaylen Warren's not going to play in this game.
Nope.
So you're going to have Najee Harris, and who's the other guy?
Champlin.
Thank you. Those are your running backs in this game. Now, yeah. Dallas's rush defense stinks, but that to me is a big, big, big deal when you consider how poorly Najee ran last game and how good Cordarrelle Patterson looked early in that game.
So what do you think that the approach should be? Do you think that, okay, you have a bad rush defense, but you're limited with the rushers that you have? Should you air it out a little bit more and take it out of the hands of the rushers? Because, I mean, if Najee goes down, then you're in a tough situation. Or should you just be like, all right, we trust that Najee's going to be durable. We're going to attack this rush defense, and then maybe our second running back is Justin Fields.
I think Justin Fields is going to have a massive game on the ground.
Yeah.
Massive game. I was going to get into this later on in the show, but got a statistic for you right here, Doran. Deshaun Watson, game one against the Cowboys. He was not good, but he rushed 5 times for 39 yards. Lamar Jackson, 14 for 87 against the Cowboys. Cowboys are giving up the third most rushing yards per game to quarterbacks in the NFL. Justin Fields got his legs going. Really a big catalyst in the second half. I think that's how they run the ball.
You think, let's say, let's go outside the box just a little
bit.
It's inside the box, but it's outside the box for right now.
Is it right on the line of the box?
It's right on the line of the box, but it's something that we anticipated that hasn't really happened yet. What do you think the read option percentage is going to be? I think it's going to be over 50%. I think that we're finally, that might be the base of the offense on Sunday night.
I think they're going to do it more than they've done it at any other point.
Yeah.
It's time. I was thinking read option, and then you said read option.
Because this is what you've been saying, too, all along. Well, for the last, like, week or two. Maybe they haven't been running the ball with Justin Fields because of the backup quarterback situation. If Russ is healthy, or if Russ is a full participant in practice today, he's going to be elevated to the second-string quarterback, where maybe gives you a little bit more cushion to be able to run the ball with Justin Fields and feel comfortable if something does happen.
Yep.
That's your time to put Russ in. This might be that game.
I think so. And you should be able to run the damn ball. Look at us.
Yeah, figuring
Spider-Man
it out.
Spider-Man meme. You're pointing at me. I'm pointing at you.
Figuring it out.
Russ is going to be the backup. IMO. I think it's time. Ray Fittipaldi was on yesterday with the PM guys, and he said the same thing. Russ talked yesterday, and he said that he's getting there and that he's got today, he's got Saturday, he's feeling good about Sunday. I do think it's Russ's backup time, and I think that does mean Justin Fields is going to run the ball in design runs more often. And this Dallas defense, man, no Micah Parsons, who they line up all over the field, a Steelers offensive line that is still trying to figure it out, not having that guy is a huge deal. He could have absolutely wrecked the game.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely wrecked the game. And then Lawrence is their second best guy and their second best pass rusher and run stuffer.
I guess Diggs was limited yesterday, too, their safety.
Yeah, and he had a bunch of pick sixes last year, so we'll see if he practices today. Also saw that, and this is wild, that Ezekiel Elliott is there again. He was limited in practice yesterday. He got dehydrated.
Hmm.
Diggs has the ankle, man. Like, even if he plays, that's going to be a big deal to cut. Things of that nature.
Yep.
But this Micah Parsons loss, Steelers have had some pretty good injury luck already this year for their opposition. Now they've dealt with their own things. Duh. Big potential injury for the Steelers in this game is Nick Herbig, who was limited in practice yesterday. And they ran right at him last week. And I think he'll get better there. He's a really good pass rusher. And he was banged up, obviously. So they just kept running right at him with Jonathan Taylor. This is a game where Dallas, they are... wrote this stat down, too. I want to make sure I get it exactly right. Can't find it.
Is it rushing?
Can't find it. Dallas, third in the NFL, 38 pass attempts per game.
Mm.
So this is the kind of game where you pin your ears back and you get after Dak Prescott. Without Herbig, I don't know that DeMarvin Leal is that kind of pass rusher, which means the attention that T.J. Watt always gets, he's going to get that and then some this week. Food for thought.
Yeah.
But they're just going to drop back and throw. They cannot run the ball. 75 rushing yards a game for Dallas when running is sexy again in the NFL.
It is.
It's sexy, man. Mm-hmm. It's back. Two high safeties. Let's run the ball. Not for Dallas. And you got really two eligibles that scare you. I like the Steelers in this game.
You have all week.
I have. We'll do a vibe check coming up at 7 o'clock, as we always do. We talked about the Steelers running game. I want to get more in depth on Najee Harris when we come back. I think this is a massive game for Najee. He's going to have to shoulder a load. You don't want to really get the backup running back involved all that much. We've already talked about Justin Fields' role. But if Najee does not have a good game on Sunday, I think it spells disaster for him. I'll explain why, and we'll talk about it when we come back.
Last week, some of the things they were doing, they brought a little more pressure than they have. They had been bringing in a lot of edge pressure, and people change it up. That's the game plan. Dallas do the same thing. They'll have something for us. I didn't think we were as clean early in the run game. I thought as the game wore down, really the backed up drive, and CP happened to be in there. There's usually an adjustment that happens depending on how the game starts, and I thought we got rolling there. We've got a strong commitment to the run game. Clearly, Najee has been the lead carrier so far as the season. As you get going in this thing, you know, as you're mixing and matching alignment, you know, there's a rhythm to the run game as well. And you saw probably in the Charter game, right, you can see him in sync. But that's something that obviously we're continuing to work through, just like you do every year. And we need to be cleaner, definitely earlier in the game.
Maybe my only complaint about Arthur Smith this year is that from a percentage standpoint, they run the ball on first down more than any team in the sport. And they even continued to do that in the first half, down by 17 points in the last game. And so when he talks about those edge blitzes, I think that's because of the Steelers' predictability.
Mm-hmm.
I also have faith that he's an adjuster guy. You just think about what it looked like game one. And Jesse Bates does it again last night. That guy's unbelievable.
He's really good.
The only team he hasn't totally screwed up this year is the Steelers, because Arthur Smith said, hey, Justin, don't throw the damn ball in the middle of the field. And then we see he's throwing it all over the middle of the field against the Chargers, and he's throwing it all over the place against Indianapolis. Point being, I think the self-scout's going to say, okay, we can't run it as much on first down, or at least we can't run it the same way. And so maybe that's where the read option comes in.
Right. I mean, that's perfect for that. You got the high frequency of edge rushing. That's where it's at.
Yeah. You got these guys crashing down.
That's the guy that you're reading the ends. And then it's like, okay, the ends of the field, I'm going to hand it because the gaps will be different.
Mm-hmm.
If the end is, you know, back a little bit, that creates a gap there, I'm going
to
pull it.
It makes it so much easier to run the ball when you have to account for the quarterback. So much easier to run the ball. I know that from my years playing defense in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember you. Mm-hmm. You're pretty good.
Yep. Yeah, slot corner.
Yeah, you wore that visor. You had a visor and a neck roll at corner.
I would have one of those mouth guards with the teeth. Yeah. But it'd be like buck teeth.
You'd have the pacifier one with the
CeeDee
Lamb.
I love that. CeeDee Lamb going to be a problem this week. We'll get to that later on in the show.
DK Metcalf, sorry.
Same. You see him standing next to your guy? Which one of your guys? Megatron.
Yes.
And Megatron made DK Metcalf look small.
I told you a story that whenever I first met him, I was talking to him. We were walking out the walkthrough, and I had my cleats on. We're walking out, and I'm like sizing him up. I'm like, yeah, he is pretty tall. Wow. Like, he was like a head taller than me when we were walking. I looked down, he was in bare feet.
What?
Yeah.
Bare feet?
I had cleats on. He's in bare feet, and he was a head taller than me.
Did he practice in bare feet?
He had like those little like toe shoe thingies. Mm-hmm. You ever see those?
I have.
They're like grip, you know.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I had a buddy who played frisbee in college who wore those shoes all the time.
Yes.
And he'd have the jeans cut off at the knees, and he had long hair and smoked a lot of pot.
Makes sense.
Yeah, makes a ton of sense. Big game for Najee Harris. Big, big game for Najee Harris. This Dallas Cowboys rush defense is really bad. They're giving up 105 rushing yards per game to running backs. So not overall, giving up about 150 rushing yards a game because quarterbacks have been able to scoot on these Cowboys, but they're giving up 105 rushing yards per game to running backs and a touchdown and a half per game to running backs. And then they're giving up four catches for 47 yards on average to running backs. Like, this is a game where if Najee Harris is who the Steelers thought he was, if Najee Harris is who he thinks he is, this should be a get-right game for Najee Harris, shouldn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Out of the backfield, too, like you just said, you know, with the catches and everything. We're going to go do our odds and ends. I think I do like where the line is at for him, if you're betting. But Najee Harris, it seems like he does get fueled, and things do have to pop up for him to have those games. And I think that the whole offseason with the whole, not picking up the fifth-year option, that kind of fueled him for the first couple games. And it's like, okay, like now what do I have to – where's the chip at on my shoulder? And now that the guy last week called him soft, didn't have a great game. Cordarrelle Patterson, people are talking about Cordarrelle being better than Najee. I think that this is a prime Najee game. I think you're spot on that he's going to be like, okay, I'm going to show you guys. I'm going to give even more effort.
Well, and he better, too. He better. Because if he doesn't perform against this defense, I think the second Jaylen Warren and CP are healthy, I mean, you're really splitting carries. You're really splitting carries. And we've talked about that. That's probably the best thing anyhow. But if you're Najee, look, man, you want to get paid at the end of the year. So you got to have the stats. You got to have games on film where you go, oh, man, that guy, if you're going to get paid, you got to go out there and you got to dominate games like this. And he's not Saquon Barkley. A lot of running backs wound up getting paid this offseason. He's not Jacobs. I don't think he's as good as these guys. But if you want to get paid, you got to be putting up over 1,000 yards. And you got to have games where you go, okay, that's a dude right there.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't seen him be a dude this year. It was basically 70 yards a game the first three games. Then last week, it's staggering how much better CP looked than he did. And I do think there's a shoulder issue going on, but like, that's not going to explain it.
No, that doesn't have anything to do with your explosiveness and your legs and your vision and hitting the hole. And it just looked different.
I don't think it's
the offensive line blocking differently, as people want to use that excuse.
No, I hate that.
Yeah, it's not.
I hate that. I did see a cut up yesterday. It might have been from Baldinger. Nay, it was your guy, Orlovsky on ESPN. It was before the baseball game last night. And he said the Steelers are like one block away on a lot of these running plays from really breaking them. But Najee Harris doesn't have good vision, man. Like, he's tough. He's durable. He's got a lot of those qualities you want in a number one back. But maybe he needs to help the blocks get set up. But like, I think sometimes it's there and he doesn't see it. And it's the NFL. It's only there for an instant.
Right. But to play running back, like, you either have, there's two ways to do it from the start.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're, you know, if you're in the backfield or you're the sidecar, you're how many yards away from the line of scrimmage, right? You're either a downhill back like Cordarrelle Patterson or like Jaylen Warren, where it's like, I'm downhill and I'm finding the hole quick and I'm hitting the hole. Or you have to set it up where it's not, it's about 80% of you going downhill, but it's almost like slow playing, not to the extent that Le'Veon Bell used to do. He was an anomaly. He was different and he did it so well. And I think he's the only one that could do it like that. But I think Najee's kind of mixed up in both. I think he wants to go downhill so fast that he's almost missing things.
Yeah.
I think he needs to slow it up a little bit and then give that burst whenever he does find it. But that is a happy medium. Like, you have to figure out what type of back you are and figure out what type of offensive line you do have whenever you're playing running back, and your style, it has to fit it all. But Jaylen Warren's like, I'm downhill, I can see where the hole is, and I'm just bursting through the hole, and I'm going 100%. I don't think Najee's built that way, and he's trying to figure out which way to be. If he does slow down just a little bit whenever he's getting the handoffs, I think he'll be able to explode more. He's not going to break anything, you know.
Just not his 50, game.
60 yards, but yeah. I think it might help him out a little bit.
That's a really good explanation by you.
From my old running back days.
Yeah. You hit that hole.
Yes.
That's why they called you Scoring Dorm.
Yes. But I also could see it, though. I could see it develop while I was going 100%.
Yeah. And some guys can. He's not that guy. And it does it kind of explain why their running games got better over the course of the season the last few years. You know, he starts to warm up to it. The offensive line, he gets the feel for them. I just think you got to warm up to it real fast in this game. And it's got to be. This has to be the Najee Harris breakout.
Yes.
Has to be. Another running back in town making news. We'll talk about that guy when we come back next. And then at 7 o'clock, we're giving away Stevie Wonder tickets. You like to see Stevie Wonder? Going to skip over an obvious joke there. We'll give you a chance to win tickets at 7 o'clock at 412-928-9370. Vibe check, how you feeling about Steelers-Cowboys? Get in line now if you're so inclined. But up next, talking about another running back in town. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. How you feeling about Steelers-Cowboys? We want you to call us and tell us. That's our Friday vibe check. At 412-928-9370. We'll get to that at 7 o'clock. Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Doran, how about this?
Hands it off, and that's a zig and a zag for Rodney Hammond Jr. Breaks free of the secondary. A foot race, 35-30, 25-20, 15-10. Touchdown, Rodney Hammond. He runs it 66 yards for the score.
He's back. I don't know what happened. I just know that I didn't think he was going to play the rest of the year. I know he's been practicing. I know that Reed's really good. I think Rodney Hammond's really good, too.
He's very good.
And he's back.
And you know what? He's a really good kid, too. And whenever this news went down, whatever it happened that he was suspended for the year, that was a punch to the stomach personally, because I know him very well and I know how hard he works and I know that he is a good kid, and I didn't even bother to ask what happened. You know, it is what it is. But to know that he has this opportunity, and from everything that I know from the first 4-5 weeks of the season and through training camp, that he's showed up to practice every day. He's been there with his teammates every day. He's cheered on Desmond Reed. He's helped every single time whenever I'm on the sidelines, whenever he wasn't playing. He was sitting next to the running backs during the defensive series, always involved and just keeping everybody's spirits up. To find out that he is now eligible and able to play, I'm not only happy for the football team, because it's going to help them tremendously, because he was maybe arguably one of the best players that they had coming back
for
on
sure.
Offense coming into this year with a new offense. I mean, he's had 16 touchdowns in his career. He had, 4 touchdowns last year, 547 yards rushing on 118 carries. Not only am I happy for the team to get a significant player, but I'm happy for him. I'm really happy for him. I'm really happy that, his life isn't altered, because that was a life-altering situation. Whatever it is, you don't get to play a college football season because you're suspended. Like, people see that, whenever it could have changed his life in the worst way. And now for him to get that opportunity, I think he very deserves that. His family deserves that. And this team does deserve that. And, like we've been saying, we don't know what it was. I don't really care what it was. I just know that he's going to be, number 6 is going to be putting on a pit jersey tomorrow, and he's going to be frothing at the mouth to get a carry.
Oh, yeah.
Like, better watch out. You better watch out, because that guy is just primed and ready with a huge chip on his shoulder to go in there alongside of Desmond Reed, who's been playing fantastic and is healthy now. I'd watch out. He's a good player.
Desmond Reed listed at 5'8", 175, and I remember watching that Cincinnati game, and he seeks out contact too at his size. He was getting up slow a lot. Tough as nails, Desmond Reed, but I think to get the best out of him, to have Desmond Reed, who is really one of the more dynamic running backs in the entire country, have him at his best as this conference schedule picks up towards the end of the year. You want a guy like Rodney Hammond, little 1A, little 1B. And Rodney Hammond can be a hammer, not to say that he doesn't have good speed, too. I mean, we just heard the play-by-play clip there of a 66-yard run. Like, he can run away from people, too. He's not the biggest guy in the world. They're kind of similar. He seems a little more stout to me.
Yeah.
And he'll put that helmet down. He'll put the shoulder down. I think this makes Pitt's running attack, which is already good. We know they've got an elite passing attack. Now there's just so many ways that they can get you, and you've got depth, and you don't feel like you're going to run a Desmond Reed into the ground. This is a really big, really big deal for Pitt.
I truly believe this, and I said this before the season in 2022, that Rodney Hammond Jr. was that injury away in West Virginia at home when the series first came back, of probably 60-40 carries, him and Izzy Abanikanda.
Yeah.
Like, I think Izzy Abanikanda, and not to take anything away from Izzy, got drafted, and he was fast and really good player. But I think that Izzy Abanikanda had the year he did because Ronnie was hurt all year. Because Rodney Hammond early in that game, like, he was toting the rock. Like, they would have shared the reps throughout the season if Rodney would have stayed healthy. And not only Rodney coming back, I mean, if you paid attention to last game, I know that it was Youngstown State, but Daniel Carter, I mean, showing explosiveness. He's a bigger back. So now, and Derek Davis as well. So now you got four backs that you're heading into ACC play with that you're feeling more comfortable with. It's a very significant upgrade for this Pitt offense.
You need three in college. You need four in college. And you're not going to have guys who are going to play at 100%. That's just football. Yeah, this is a big deal. I wouldn't put it past Cade Bell to have both guys on the field at the same time. We know how Desmond Reed can catch the football. But you bring up the Izzy Abanikanda thing, like the thunder and lightning kind of deal there. Same sort of thing with Desmond Reed. You said he handled himself as well as you possibly can going through all this adversity. So good for Rodney Hammond, and it's big for Pitt. We'll get into North Carolina v. Pitt in the 8 o'clock hour. Big game, ACC play opening up, Pitt a favorite on the road. But coming up next, how you feeling about Steelers-Cowboys? 412-928-9370. Best caller wins a pair of tickets to the Stevie Wonder concert. Give us a word to describe the Cowboys. Tell us how you feel about this game. Who's going to have a good performance? What's it going to look like? How many Cowboys fans are going to get there? We kind of open it up. All things Steelers-Cowboys. Vibe check, 412-928-9370. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. 24 Silverado 1500, 1.9% financing up to 36 months with approved credit through GM Financial. Full terms and conditions at sunchevy.com.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.